Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Morning Cup. I am so honored today because I have Julio with me. Since Julio was old enough to think about where he wanted to go in life, he knew he wanted to be an entrepreneur. In order to pursue this path, he knew he would need to have sales skills. He acquired experience in sales from an early age as his first job involved in door-to-door sales and telemarketing. Since then, he has worked in sales in a variety of capacities, all while continuing to build and hone in his skills in his niche. In 2015, he started his journey as an entrepreneur. He launched and sold multiple businesses in a variety of industries, online store, construction, real estate, and so forth. In addition to this, he invested successfully in real estate and franchises. He currently owns two businesses related to the financial market, crypto and finance. He's recently nominated for Canada's 40 Under 40 Entrepreneur Magazine for 2023. His journey in the world of sales and entrepreneurship has encouraged him to share his experiences and lessons as he's learned along the way, as well as spread financial education to everyone. Thank you so much for being here today, Julio.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's a complete honor. And I would love for you to just really share your journey, how you got here today. I know you've had so many things happen in the past few years in particular, but if you could just kind of catch us up to speed.
My last business was in construction. We had we bought and sold and installed hygienic wall systems. So you can imagine during COVID, we just blew up. Pretty much we were in every single hospital and healthcare facility you can imagine here in Canada. At the same time, during that big peak, that was pretty much my biggest influx of cash I've had in a very, very long time. And it's pretty much, what do you do with that cash? As an entrepreneur, there's so many different things, but I decided to go into real estate, into franchises. Long story short, I'm pretty much where I am today, which I started another company called Platinum Plus Capital and AmCan Financial, and they're both all about financial education. Platinum Plus Capital revolves more around cryptocurrencies and financial education, how to budget, how to make money, compound interest. AmCan Financial is more specific to education on your credit. This is something like, as a kid, I don't remember anybody ever or any school system ever teaching me anything about credit. So it was very important to, I think I've gotten to the point in my life right now where I can start sharing my experiences. Everything I've ever learned has been through nothing but experience, through a lot of bad decisions and a lot of good decisions, which led to a lot of good decisions. But that's the thing. It's you know, you can either be one way or another. I've always said to myself, in sales or in business or in life, there's one ticket that you always pay, and that's time. So you either pay with your time by going to school, you pay with your time by investing in something that took, you had to earn that money one way or another. But time is one factor that we always have to put into. So you got to pay to go to school one way or another. And I think I paid my bachelor's, master's, PhD, I got it all behind me at this point.
Absolutely. And it's been such a journey. And I love that you said the ticket is time, because you can't get that back. And you're paying for whether it's school or experiences that you're gaining from decisions we make. And so I'm curious, some of those decisions you said weren't the best, but they led you to great things. What were some of those stumbling blocks that you encountered while you're building your business?
I think easily, and the one that most entrepreneurs will relate to, easily, when I started my business, I wore too many hats. I thought I could do it all. I was He-Man, Superman. I had project managers and estimators, and I oversaw them, but I didn't just oversee them, I micromanaged them. You know, the only person I couldn't micromanage was the bookkeeper, because I literally had no clue about that system. And that was the second, I think, hardest challenge to understand, is aside from the sales and the business, you know, you really have to understand the finance. Mm-hmm. I've always said that it doesn't matter what, everybody has a different personality, right? Everybody has their strengths. I think the most important thing is to discover who you are and know your strengths. Don't be shy about, you know, the things you're not great at. That's okay. Like, I'm a 10 in sales. I believe to be a 10 in sales. I got my master's and PhD in sales. Like, I'm really good at it. But for other people, or like myself, I'm not that great at accounting or bookkeeping. But so let's just say I'm a 4. So my concept is, whatever you're not good at, whether it's accounting, whether it's operations, whether it's management, you can be a 4, but learn to be a 6. and then hire out and trust that those people that you hired are the best candidates to facilitate that job. I mean, or else why are you paying them?
Right.
You know, so learn to be a six in accounting or in bookkeeping, so you know what's happening, you know the basics, but then hire the expert who lives, breathes, and dies in that field, so you can trust them to do the best effective job possible. So that was one of my biggest mistakes, again, was wearing too many hats. And because of that, I lost some really good employees, but again, learning through a lot of bad experience. So,
well, I love that you said, like, the if you're a four, get to a six of just understanding the material. Like, you don't have to be the expert in the room, but being enough of an expert to know when someone's doing a good job or that is legit in what they're doing as well. Mm-hmm. And then you hire that out. But I love that you alluded to that, because I think it's good to know everything that's going on within your business, but you don't have to be in it. Appreciate that perspective, because I think it's important. I think it's important to know that when we are wearing too many hats, that can kind of explode if we aren't careful. And it's being able to use the resources and be able to outsource when necessary. Of course, have the foundation, but being able to build upon that with other experts as well. So you're not carrying everything, because that can be really heavy.
And not only is it heavy, but then what are you really doing? You know, you can't excel or manage your business effectively if you're constantly overreaching and micromanaging every aspect of the business. Mm-hmm. There's literally no time in the day. There's only 24 hours in that day. Do you really want to spend it looking over every manager or operations or sales? Mm-hmm. You know, and for the CPAs out there who have their own firm, you may be a 10 in accounting, but chances are, and it's a very strong chance, you're probably not the greatest in sales. Chances are, right? Mm-hmm. Some people can have both, but chances are you're not. So learn at least basics in sales, so you can hire the Julios of the world to go out there and get you clients, right? Exactly. So it's just a balance of it.
And so, speaking of sales as well, I know you started sales at a very young age. What led you to really starting your own business? Because you had all this experience, you went so far in school as well, but what really was that drive to start your first business?
That happened through my mentor. Mm-hmm. When I came to Canada in 2010, because I'm originally from San Diego, California, mm-hmm. I came here, and it's such a different aspect when you're going into a different country, even though Canada is very similar in the sense of the United States. I mean, it's an English speaking country. There's nowhere you can't go where they don't speak English. But I came here and I was just so like, just didn't know what was happening, what was going on. And so, I mean, just imagine walking down the street in anywhere in Colorado or in California, and everywhere you see American flags. Now swap that out for a Canadian flag. You know, mm-hmm. 20 plus years in a country where you used to seeing your American flag, and all of a sudden it's Canadian. And again, it just took me a long time to start up. I started off in the most, I call it humblest jobs possible. I was washing dishes. Mm-hmm. I was cleaning rooms, washing windows. That, you know, eventually became a laborer in some construction company. I just started very, very humble, we'll call it. And I just, the mindset was just so negative at that time, because I just didn't feel connected to anything I was doing, because none of those were my strengths. Could I work manual labor? Of course I can.
Yeah.
But it was zombie work, because I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. There was nothing challenging about it for me. I'm not saying laborers or anything like that, right? But for me, because I thrived in sales and I thrived in that atmosphere, to do something opposite of myself was just mundane for me.
Yeah.
So eventually I met a couple people. I eventually got the person, one of these individuals, became a mentor to me and just got me out of that mindset. For example, I was working in labor in a construction company. And that construction company just, you know, everybody has their slow periods. And they said, well, we have this panel company. Do you want to come and sell that stuff? Do you know how to do sales? I'm like, do I? And just boom, it just launched off from there, because I was thriving. I grabbed the yellow pages when it was relevant. I grabbed the yellow pages. I was just going through, literally called every contractor, cold calls. Hey, this is what I do. This is who I am. I literally old school just called everybody. And afterwards, he just gave me the courage and gave me the strength to really tell me something I already knew about myself, but helped me realize it. And this is why mindset is just so powerful, right? I heard a quote the other day that was really great. I can't quote who it was, but it was, once you realize how powerful your words are, you'll be careful in what you say. Once you realize how powerful your mind is, you'll be careful in what you think. Mm-hmm. And once you realize how much power you have, you'll be careful in who you become. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it was just one of those things. He really changed my perspective on how I saw myself and everything. And around 2015, that's the day when I actually started a business. When I say started a business, was because before then I was like dabbling, doing side hustles, doing this, doing that, ways to make pay my bills. But for every entrepreneur out there, there's a point in time where you cut those safety nets off, and mm-hmm. then it's a free for all. Then it's, how do I pay my bills? How do I buy food? How do I take care of my family? Mm-hmm. Just there's no safety net. And 2015 was that year for me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, so when you did like start to cut the safety net and like we're all in, what was that experience like for you, those that like first year or so?
That the first year is always the challenging mm-hmm. year. Now, I've always had this blind optimism, and I think every entrepreneur shares that trait of blind optimism. It's going to be fine. Yeah. It's a really dumb way to look at things. But at the same time, it was just that much confidence that I knew that I was effective in what I do. It was challenging. You know, a lot of late bills being paid late. But at the same time, I was still paying them, if that makes any relevance, mm-hmm. right? The first year is always a challenging, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to get things done, trying to figure out how to, what the right protocols were. I didn't really have a mentor to tell me, this is how accounting works. This is how bookkeeping works. This is how operations is done. So I taught myself all these things, mm-hmm. even the things I wasn't great at, I taught myself to the best of my ability, mm-hmm. to the point where I was finally able to hire people out. But because I did it so much by myself,
yeah,
I still needed that control, going back to the control aspect of things and micromanaging. So letting go of those hats was super challenging. I mean, I fell on my face hard when people started leaving, and I got honest feedback of why they're leaving, to really set myself apart and say, either I let ego speak to me, I'm like, ah, they don't know what they're talking about. Oh no, they don't have a business. They don't know what they're, you know, or really step outside myself and be objective to the situation and say, well, these guys, everybody's saying these things. It's a continuous and repetitive thing. So I have to do something different. Mm-hmm. So just stepping outside yourself and looking at the logical and that emotional side of things, mm-hmm. Can really, really, really benefit, at not even just in business, but almost everything you do.
That's very true. I love that you said that too, because I think sometimes ego can get in the way, and it's like our baby. We want to protect mm-hmm. it. It's our business. And when people start saying things, it's kind of taking that step back and not looking at it as I need to be defensive, but more of like open-minded. And that's what it sounds like you did. And we're allowing more people to come in that were the right fit. And so when you did start hiring, what was that process like when people maybe were leaving and then you got like a more solid team?
You know, I don't think I've had more of a solid team mm-hmm. than I've ever had that I have today. Mm-hmm. The team that I have today, based off all those experiences, is almost like my dream team. That I'm so glad that I went through a lot of those horrible experiences, because mm-hmm. I wasn't hiring with the best method. So eventually I had my bookkeeper, who was more or less human resources, look at things objectively more than me. But now I've learned how to, because I have a crypto trading company and the finance with Amcan Financial, I'm able to really, the trading taught me so much about looking at things logically and taking emotion out of it, right? So even for me right now, I guess what, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, a degree used to mean a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not downplaying anybody who has a degree, but the degree isn't everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's all about who that drive of the person as well and what they want to do. Now, like everyone on my team believes in what we're doing. Not only believes in what they're doing and in the company, but believes in my leadership. So commanding your ship is massive. Everybody who's involved is obviously there because it's a job and that's what they have to do, but they're also there because there's a bigger dream that we all carry together, and it just steers the ship a lot easier together. So my team right now, I have no complaints. So like, I'm so happy. It allows me to be exactly who I need to be. And I can trust them to let them be exactly who they need to be and hold them in accountability. And they hold me in accountability as well. So it's just, it's a very fun ship to be on right now.
It sounds like it. And it goes back to like just having the same core values and mission and being on that together. Like you're going, I kind of picture it as you're in a boat and you're all rowing together. It's not like mm-hmm. somebody's trying to fight to go the other way. It's everybody's going the same direction together. And I think that's so important to recognize as well, because I think you don't always have a solid team and it takes time to get there, but you go through trial and error and just different situations that pop up. But all those experiences led you to all the incredible individuals that are on your team now, today.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, COVID helped out on one of my businesses massively because mm-hmm. it gave me the influx of cash I needed. Mm-hmm. But it also hurt the economy in a lot of different ways. You know, you mm-hmm. can't give people money and then expect them like afterwards to respond and, okay, I have this money, so now I'm going to do this extra. A lot of people, at least here in Canada, when they got their, here we call it CERB, when they got their payments, mm-hmm. The government assistance, it was the most incredibly difficult time to find employees, to find anybody who wanted to work, but because they compared their financial aid, we'll call it, to what they would make an hour. And it would almost be comparable to some degrees or just as close to some people. Mm-hmm. So some people are like, it's close enough and I don't have to work. I'll stay home. Mm-hmm. So I make just as much or more working from staying at home, doing nothing than working. Mm-hmm. And I'm just in my head, because, you know, we pay taxes. Yeah. I'm thinking, you do realize it's not free. Mm-hmm. Eventually, one way or another, this comes back to you. I mean, we're seeing it now with inflation. But one way or another, it does come back. It's not free. Like, stop. Anything that's free, I mean, not even the lottery is free.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. At least in the United States. Even in the United States, the lottery isn't free. Mm-hmm. So.
No, it's absolutely true. And, you know, I just wanted to touch on that too, because I have been hearing about this so much as well, like all over the news for the last like 2 years, that it's so hard to find good employees. And that's why I wanted to highlight your team as well, because I do think a lot of people are like, oh, well, I have government assistance. I don't need to work. And people saw a lot of individuals not going back to work after you could go back to work here in the United States. And it sounds like that's what was happening in Canada as well. And I think a lot of other places. But how did you handle that when you were looking for employees? Did you already have that team you have now today, or was that built over COVID and during COVID?
A little bit of both. So it has to go with a little bit of what I said earlier. So mm-hmm. When I first started this in 2020, I was doing my own trading. Mm-hmm. I would say more as a hobby. And that's the first lesson, by the way. If you're going to trade, it's not a hobby. You're going to lose a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You almost have to live, breathe, and die because cryptocurrencies are traded 24/7. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to treat it like you would a business, treat it like you would any other profession. You live, breathe, and die by it. This is what you do 24 hours a day or eight hours a day, whatever, 10 hours a day. And that's how you stay on top of it. But the way I hired my team was I knew that one of my strengths was not this, meaning not the trading. I'm not saying I'm a bad trader, but what I am saying is that managing a multitude of actually experienced professionals who have done this their whole lives compared to someone toying it or dabbling in it, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. So I hired a CTO, someone who would oversee that. And mm-hmm. we would discuss the qualifications, what I wanted, what he thought was important. With that mashup, he found our traders. He oversees them. He oversees the trades. He oversees that entire aspect of the business. Mm-hmm. Where I can focus on the marketing, I can focus on the sales, I can focus on being on podcasts. Like right now, I focus on bringing in accredited investors. I can focus on expanding in Latin America, which we have been really, really big on. Mm-hmm. So again, it's just I focused on my strength, yeah. And I had no problem with saying, you know what, this is you do you, let mm-hmm. me do my part. And again, everything was a big partnership in what we do. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's important. It's that team effort and coming together and finding what are the strengths. If you're maybe weaker in one point, having somebody who does have a strength in that, and it all complements each other to grow as a team as well. And I know you're huge in the financial world of just education, especially immigrants as well. Could you give us a little bit more about that and explain what you do and help people?
Well, when I was searching up for my CTO at that time, you know, I'm a Googler, I'm a YouTuber. I understand, again, there's no fear in me admitting that I don't like to read. But one of the ways I actually absorb information is I'm a very visual person. So I YouTube a lot. I watch podcasts a lot. I listen to audiobooks a lot. So this whole thing came into fruition because I was just going down this rabbit hole of the financial system. And somehow these different ideas came about for learning about credit. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my God, this is so, in my opinion, lame. Like, who can actually learn about this? I had a big meeting in a bank with a bank from El Salvador in opposite of the country called Montreal. And I got to meet a couple of the consulates that were there, Latin American consulates, El Salvador, Colombia, Mexico. These are some of the biggest immigrants that come to Canada. Mm-hmm. And we started talking about money and finances. And again, just out of really good tequila and a really good time and atmosphere, we started talking about the challenges that immigrants go through, not just Latin American, because the immigrant is, I was an immigrant in Canada.
Right.
You know, if you're not born in the country, you're an immigrant. So one of these things is the credit system. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you know? We talked about credit cards, we talked about credits, we talked about loans, cars, houses, mm-hmm. every aspect of it. And we just said, there's no system out there that really shows anything to this, to anyone. I mean, most people in Canada or the United States barely even know what their FICO score is. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't even know why they got a credit card, how they get approved for them, or how to build it and maintain it. Mm-hmm. So this is where that whole topic and conversation came from. So at that point, I called my securities lawyer, opened up a company called Amcan Financial that's able to help anyone, anyone, not just immigrants, anyone, help them raise their credit score through approving them a line of credit. Through these lines of credit, they're able to make payments at their, not at their own terms, but at their own payment ability, because not everybody has a large amounts of cash. Some people are barely getting by, which is fine. So you pick your payment schedule, you pick your payment plan. We report to the three largest credit reporters in North America. And as long as you're making your payments, we report it as good credit, which helps you establish this. So for new immigrants that come to Canada, my partnership's eventually going to be with various types of consulates. So we're going to be able to put these programs in front of these individuals and show them and help them how to gain the credit and how to start it. They can just start with literally, I think our smallest plan is going to be $30 a month. $30 a month, get good payments, right? But I mean, it also works, to be honest, it works the contrary. If you don't make your payment, you got to report a bad payment. But it's one of those things, it's just teaching, right? It's more than I was ever offered when I turned 18, or it's more than what anybody's ever offered. I mean, we don't get like pamphlets in the mail saying, learn about your credit. We get pamphlets in the mail saying, you've been pre-approved, mm-hmm. use your card.
Right.
Most people barely even understand how to even make a payment to the credit card, or know that use 30% of your credit card is really the threshold before it starts affecting you negatively. Mm-hmm. You know, understand when your payment schedules are. But all these things is something that I'm really passionate about, because besides coming here as an immigrant, I didn't know what the different system in Canada, well, there really isn't. But I didn't know that there wasn't. I didn't know anything about it. Most immigrants come here, they just know one thing, work, 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 work. The majority of immigrants that come to this country are probably coming here to provide a better life, not only for themselves and their families that may be with them here or back home, wherever they're from. Mm-hmm. So just getting them started on this process, you know, and that's really been my mission since then, is just trying to get this platform off the ground, which I hope to have it. Today's February 6th, so I hope to have it by the end of February, finally launch Amcan Financial. But Platinum Plus Capital is all about compound interest. It's all about teaching investing, and it's all about putting money to work.
I so appreciate you bringing that up, because I think too, a lot of times if you aren't, your parents don't teach you about credit or financial aspect, because money is taboo to talk about, or at least growing up, it wasn't something that was like actively spoken about. My mom was really good with that, about making sure that we had a credit card and establishing credit at a younger age, but not everybody has that or has done that. Both my parents did that for us. But I think being able to talk about it and have the resources, and you give so many resources and tools. And that's why I'm so excited to have you on today, because bringing awareness to what's possible and understanding that there is education out there, just finding the right resource and vehicle to get there in order to establish credit, whether you are coming to a new country or whether just anywhere from your house too, being able to understand that. And so I appreciate you bringing all that up. In addition to that, I want to talk a little bit more about crypto because some people understand it. I know I'm still learning more about it, but what could you tell us about crypto? Why is it important to know about it, how to utilize it, what it is, all of those things?
So, I mean, the basics of crypto, it's a digital currency and it uses a cryptography for secure transactions. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much literally, I think, the Wikipedia translation of what cryptocurrencies is. But to give an analogy, imagine your money today. We have a dollar, we have a Canadian dollar, we have a US dollar, we have yen, euro, whatever. All that is digitally done. And in the banking system right now, we use SWIFT. There's just, it's a lot of different types of processes in order to send money digitally. This is a better, faster, more secure way of doing it, which is what we call the blockchain. But the different now, cryptocurrency has a lot of different coins, which will translate into dollars, different types of money. And that's all it is. So everybody develops their own type of coin. Unfortunately, anybody who knows any kind of programming can develop it, but eventually becomes marketable to the sense of that has some sort of value. Now, why is all this important? You have to understand that your physical money that you have today has no value. Anybody who thinks it has a value, I'm sorry, that dollar that you have in your pocket does not have a value. It's literally an IOU that you give to someone. That's all it is. Real money is in a bank or a banking system, and it's no different than a cryptocurrency per se. The difference is that it's in their digital system compared to a cryptocurrency that is in a decentralized digital system. That's the main difference. And you have to understand that this is not going away. I don't care what anybody says. It's not. Blockchain is currently being used by almost every type of central banking system that there is. Now, a coin is different. That's just a currency. The technology is currently being used everywhere, all the time. And it's faster and more secure than any other system that there is right now. I can send Dr. Caroline $1 million in a stable coin like Tether or something, and you're going to get it in 5 minutes. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And there's a way to trace that transaction from Dr. Caroline to Julio, and that's never going away. Now, if I wanted to go to Bank of Canada and send it to Bank of America to Dr. Caroline, I'll be shocked if you get it in 3 days. The amount of paperwork, the amount of the amount of due diligence has to be done. Now, I'm not saying that cryptocurrency isn't safe. It's actually more safe and more transparent than the current banking system that we have today. So it's going to be used. Imagine traders in Wall Street, they can send money within minutes compared to wiring funds to Switzerland or the European trade market, whatever, right?
Right.
It's just, it gets done much more faster and more efficiently. Now, how that all gets jumbled up, the one thing I know 100% is Uncle Sam and Uncle Canada, whoever, Uncle Trudeau, I guess we'll call him here. Everybody wants their money. They just have to figure out a way to tax it. Unfortunately, it's a very unregulated market. Do I believe in certain regulations? Absolutely, I do believe, because it just gives us guardrails to do what we need to do effectively, right? Everybody needs their boundaries. Do I believe in over-regulation? To be honest, no, I don't believe in over-regulation. But what I would like is just some sort of guidelines, some guardrails to travel within. I don't want to break any laws. I don't want to do anything I'm not supposed to. I want to follow, pay my taxes, do whatever it is that I need to do. At the end of the day, I'm a capitalist. I just want to find a way to make money, the most money, and the best way possible. That's what I'm focused on. So we just need our rules. So cryptocurrencies is something that you already are doing. When you tap your card, when you buy something online through Amazon, it's all digital currencies transferring from one system to another. This is just the most faster, more secure way of doing it.
I appreciate the breakdown because I do think it's just understanding it a little bit more. Like I've traded a little bit. I've dabbled in it. I'm no expert, but that's why I'm excited that you broke it down for us and understanding how it is a currency and it is being able to just like when you tap your card or buy something online, all that is factored in because I think it's still a concept for certain generations that don't understand it or haven't even dabbled in it just yet. But I do agree. I think it is the future. I mean, it's already here, but I think it's going to be a very mainstream thing very soon.
Yeah, it's not as taboo or as bad as anything else. I would almost dare to say it is just as volatile or unsecure as a regular banking system. Yeah. We recently had FTX fail. Imagine that was an exchange. Imagine that like a bank. Okay. We're making a really massive deal about that, but we're not talking about 2008 when three or four of the largest banks who held hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars failed. Yeah. You know, we're not talking about those situations. And to be honest, if you're investing or putting your money to work in one way or another, there's no such thing as safe ever. Your money right now is not safe right now in a bank. Mm-hmm. You can go to the bank if, you know, Canada were to go to war with, I don't know, the US for whatever reason, mm-hmm. right? Emergency shuts down happen. So I wouldn't be able to go to the bank and retrieve all our money. They do fractional banking. Like if you have to really understand what fractional banking means. Honestly, it says it within itself, fractional. Mm-hmm. I mean, all your money is not there. We had a shutdown here during the summer of 2022 mm-hmm. where a cellular company called Rogers had some sort of communications hack or something. Long story short, the system went down. So imagine that like Verizon.
Yeah.
You know, they had a massive communication shutdown. Rogers is one of the largest communications companies here in Canada. They use it for internet. They use it for phones. They use it for terminal stations. They use it in banks. They use it in retail facilities. We couldn't go to the bank and withdraw. It doesn't matter if you had $100 million in the bank. I think you're maxed out at about $5,000. Wow. I think that was your max you're able to take out. I think if I'm not mistaken, it could be a lot less depending on what bank, yeah. But the lines were out the door.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how much money you have. They're only going to give you a portion of it because the money, when you go deposit it, it's not in that piggy bank that they have in the back. That's for safe deposit boxes. Right. You know, even the Federal Reserve doesn't have that, unfortunately, because that's private as well, for those who don't know.
Just getting all the golden nuggets here.
Well, it's just you have to learn how to, if you really want to learn about money, go learn about money. If you want to know how to make money, go learn what it is first, right? Go learn what is money. How does the banking system, you're going to be shocked. Like I said, Federal Reserve is just the name of the company. It's a private institution. The Central Bank of the United States of America is not a government association. It's a private institution. Every central bank in every part of the world, in every country, is a private institution. It is not a government entity. And you have to understand this to understand that how, not at risk, but how not safe you are at all times. Cash in hand, keeping it under your mattress is still technically not safe either because, you know, inflation is going to catch up with you. So for me, I'm all about it. Money is just a tool. It's just a piece mm-hmm. of energy. It's just a screwdriver that I have to learn how to use, a drill that I have to learn how to operate. If you know how to use this tool, it becomes very functional in your day-to-day life, especially if you're using it every day. And because I do, I try to understand it the best possible way, make money go in, make money come out, make money go in, make money come out, keep it rotating, keep it moving, not sitting, put it into whatever positions we need to put it in so we can constantly make as much money as possible. I'm not saying that all our trades are winners because we do have some bad trades at times. We're not perfect, mm-hmm. but we try to do our best to make sure that we have profits at the end of every single month.
Right. Yeah, no. And it is about the profit, but I love the fact it gave it really a good synopsis of what to expect, but it's also doing your own research and using the tools. And I do think it's a vehicle. Money is energy. It's a currency that gets you from A to B in mm-hmm. any capacity you want, but you have to be able to use it. You have to take that step no matter what it is. So speaking of just all the trading that you have done, all the financial education you've given, I would love to hear just like one or two success stories of clients that you've worked with.
One really great success story was pretty much my first client. Unknowingly, she was my first client. Just a really great friend. She just works her butt off, and she wanted to buy a house for her and her mom and her dad. They're immigrants from Fiji. And that's all they do. That's all they want. They just want to own a home. That's some people's dream. They just want to own a home. Mm-hmm. And she called me and asked me if I knew anybody. They only had, I think, 50,000 and just cash, 50,000 Canadian, but it wasn't enough for a down payment. Unfortunately, the market here in Vancouver is a really difficult one because everything's really expensive. But I just asked her, I don't have many options for you besides, you know, work more hours, but that has its limitations. And I just simply said, look, I've been doing this this thing with trading. How much do you trust me? I didn't take a lot to convince her, but because I gave her some securities, I said, look, I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. So fast forward to January 2023. I believe it was the second or the third of this year. I was able to give her $103,000 back out of that 50. So they're already looking for their home. They haven't found the right one, but it was $100,000. I pretty much doubled their money within the last year, year and a half and some change. But I was able to give them that first step into buying a home. And it was her mom. Unfortunately, they're really short. They're like 5 feet tall. And they're giving me a hug, and they're up to my abdomen. And they're just so happy because I made sure that I went there. I got them a cashier's check, bank draft. And I wanted to deliver it hand in hand just because they're local. But that's one of the success stories. But the other ones, I mean, honestly, it's people when they wire money. I mean, they'll send me, or here we have a thing called e-transfer, mm-hmm. where you're able to send money via electronically through email. Mm-hmm. But their password was house 2026. You know, it's just one of those things where you're able to work with people and you see that they really just want that. Because again, it's time. There's only so many hours in a day, and so many people are just in professions that regardless if they work 24 hours a day to reach a certain amount of money, it's just not plausible until they're 30 years later. Right. So for me, it's all about let's get to our goals in the next 3 to 5 years. That's tangible for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not giving you a false expectation of, oh, give me $100 and we're going to make you a million. No, that's everything is math. Okay. Yeah. Everything is math. Everything is probable to math. Mm-hmm. Math and compound interest. Mm-hmm. It's just that whatever you're doing with your money, if it's not earning you compound interest, go find something that does. There are so many safe advantages, not just, you know, Julio or Platinum Plus Capital, but you could be getting a whole life insurance. Pay for life insurance and have that work for you. You know, get compound interest annually. Get yourself in a safe mutual fund. Well, let me rephrase that. Mutual funds lost 20% last year, so it's not as safe. But get yourself in something that makes you money and earns you compound interest. You know, I had a financial advisor tell me, oh, I can get you 5% a year. I'm like, 5%? This was before me trading, by the way. It's like, I make more than that. If I were to flip my money in like 30 days, I can get like 15%. Because I'll put it into a project. I'll put into, you could easily put your money into a pre-sales for condo developments. There is a way to make money. Mm-hmm. Just how much time do you have? How much time? Educate yourself on that thing. If you want to do real estate, go on YouTube. Learn everything there is to know about real estate investing. Learn everything there is to know about cryptocurrencies. Learn everything there is to know about mutual funds. Whatever area you want to put your money in, the biggest investment, I swear to God, you could ever make in your entire life would be your own education in that subject. Mm-hmm. Educate yourself first, then put your money to work somewhere else, because at least that education investment will last you your whole life. So that's just always my first thing. If you're unsure or you don't know, go educate yourself. Pay for that education. Talk to a mentor. Like literally go on LinkedIn, find Grant, not Grant Cardone. He's a bit of over the top. find someone who's actual real estate investor and just say, hey, do you have 30 minutes of your time? If you can't spare it, you know, I'd like to pay you for 1 hour of your time. I'll give you $500 for your time for 1 hour. You will learn more in that 1 hour for those $500 than you would in college for 4 years, in my opinion. You know, get your list ready, get your questions ready. That's just me. That's everything I've ever done in my life. I've always attacked it that way. And I'd rather go straight to the source and ask the professional or someone who's experienced, who has 10 years of in that profession, and say, you know, I'll give you $1,000 for a few hours of your time. Mm-hmm. And I'll come in with my notepad and I'll just ask questions and go right on ahead. Mm-hmm. So,
saves a lot of time and energy when you're able to go straight to the source and the expert. And I'm just curious, because I know with the recession that's been happening, it's been looming over, people are talking about it, not talking about it. What are your thoughts on the recession and, like, financially, what we can be doing to prepare ourselves outside of self-education? Of course, I think that's like number one, or number one through 10, I would say. But what are some advice you have on that?
I think all has to do with your mentality. Like, the more you think about it's a recession, it's a recession, it's a recession.
Yeah.
Again, you just have to be careful with what you're feeding your brain. If it's constantly a recession, then that's what it's constantly going to be. I'm not knocking inflation. I know it's there. I know what it's like. I just went to the supermarket and bought like barely a handful of things, and I'm already over $100. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. I understand, but I'm not looming over that recession. I'm not looming over the possibilities of what I can't make. Right. If you're really serious about making money, like literally serious, if you're tired of the, you know, paycheck to paycheck BS that you're going through, educate yourself on money, figure out what it is, then figure out how to make it, because it's not that hard. Mm-hmm. You just literally have to discipline yourself in certain areas. Maybe Starbucks every day isn't for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe the designer things you can lay off for 6 months. Like, there's always something you can do to either make money or save money, but later on apply it to something that actually makes you money while you're physically working. Mm-hmm. So I think the mentality of recession, for me, I've never liked it. It doesn't work for me. The more I loom over something negative, the more I'm not focusing on the outcome. Stop thinking about the problem and look for solutions.
Yes, I'm right there with you. I think it's important, the mindset. It's so powerful, like we were just talking about earlier. And even before we started filming, like the ice plunge of like the mentality, I had to throw it in there. But being able to move through things when you have your mindset on the goal, the end goal, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's overwhelming, whatever it may be, but being able to take a step back and recognizing, okay, if I'm telling myself there is a recession, I'm telling myself I can't do this, that's what's going to continue to happen, because you keep feeding that. And just to your point, I think you're so spot on. It is all about the mindset and then the actions you take.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying people aren't going to make mistakes, right? Things happen.
Yeah, we're all human.
I get it. Things happen. Mm-hmm. I've made plenty of bad mistakes with financially as well. I've overspent on things I should have never overspent on. But the whole point is do something about it, right? Okay, what happened is done, it's done. There's nothing you can do about 5 minutes ago or 5 days ago or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you have a bankruptcy. I don't care what's going on in your life. There's literally always an option. Now, the hard part is whether you're willing to accept the truth or not. You know, are you willing to accept the solution? Because some solutions are not very pretty. Some solutions are very difficult to make. Some people will have to cut back on their expenses a lot, but why not cut back for 6 months? Mm-hmm. You know, when are you really going to do it? Yeah, the mindset of everything, you have to, like I told you earlier, it's like once you understand how powerful this tool, this, like, it's literally a muscle, this muscle that you have up here is, you want to work it out. Yeah. I was talking to someone a couple of days ago, and I talked about a little bit of what you're saying right now, which is, you know, how can people understand? And I think the main thing is there's nothing I can say on this podcast or any future podcast that I don't think someone else has already said. The amount of information that's out there right now on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, whatever, TikTok, whatever platform, everybody's telling you the same thing. Mm-hmm. Work hard, be disciplined, and be consistent. That's everybody tells you that. Now, the only way I think people will understand, maybe I can say this message in a way people understand by using analogies, by illustrations, but this is my thing. If you want to make money, get out of your financial situation. Again, don't worry about Julio Platinum Plus Capital. Now, let's just worry about, you know, Dr. Caroline as an individual. Dr. Caroline does not get to a six pack overnight. It takes consistency. It takes a lot of hard work through diets, through workout plans, through going to the gym every day. It's a process. Let's just say it's a 3-year process to get to that six pack, because that was a Dr. Caroline making a lot of really good decisions for her health.
Right.
But it's the same opposite. Mm-hmm. Julio does not become obese overnight. Julio does not get fat overnight. It took a lot of very bad, unhealthy decisions to get to my health that I have today, right? So you can either work to the good steps to get the six pack and go to the gym and be consistent to make healthy and good decisions. We'll change it up now financially, or we can make a lot, continue making very bad decisions, eating the hot Cheetos at night, eating, overdo it on the pastas or whatever, right? But making a lot of sugars and sugars is probably the worst one, but making a lot of those unhealthy decisions to get to being unhealthy. So you choose healthy or unhealthy, and everything, regardless of what you do, took the same amount of progression and time and discipline, because you're disciplined to make a lot of very bad habits, whether you like to admit it or not.
Yes. No, I love that analogy. It really puts it in perspective, because it's the day-to-day decisions that we're making. I mean, yes, like financially, you can make one bad decision. That's like a big bad decision, but it's all those little things, like the overspending on things that you can maybe cut back on for a few months, but it really is those everyday decisions we make lead to whatever the outcome is, whether it's positive or negative, but being able to recognize that we have control over that, our choices. Mm-hmm. What we're doing. So thank you for sharing that analogy. I appreciate that. Gave me a clear picture of it as well. And so what would be maybe two or three tips you could give us around entrepreneurship that you've learned along your journey, all the multiple businesses you've grown and developed as well?
One of them, I think we talked about, which was you got to look at things objectively. Like, try your best. I'm not saying it's easy. I know it's difficult, but try your best to look at things like as a third person and don't take everything emotionally, because the most successful people I know in trading for sure and finance, they don't look at it emotionally. Yeah. They look at it logically. They look at it objectively, take your criticism the way it's you're supposed to. Some people can be right. Some people can be wrong. That's your decision to make, but look at it objectively. Why are they saying this? Why is this a consistent thing that's being said? And the other thing is, I think as an entrepreneur, I called it the three C's just because it's just, they go together, which is, before you become an entrepreneur, you really have to have that courage, right? Or before you do anything, I think it takes a lot of courage to realize self-truth, takes courage to understand truth, takes courage to take a leap forward, to start your own business, takes courage, whatever challenge it is. If it's a challenge, it's going to take courage to do, right? So first you need the courage, and then you need creativity. In my opinion, you really need to be creative on how to solve a unique problem. Why is it unique? Because you as an individual are unique. You may have the same problem as some other people, but I guarantee you it's not identical. There has to be some little change, so take the courage to understand the problem and be creative to solve the problem. And then the final thing would be just be consistent. Be consistent on the action. Don't just think, again, overnight you're going to get the result. It has to be consistent. Nothing good. There's no entrepreneur on this earth. Well, let me rephrase that. It's incredibly rare to find an entrepreneur that just, bam, made it overnight. It took time. It took time in development. It took time in establishment. It took time in reputation. Everything took time. So you have to be consistent throughout that time to get the result you want. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, courage, creativity, and consistency. That's the best thing I could tell any entrepreneur. Don't wear too many hats. Take your ego out of it. Take your emotions out of it. Don't take your emotion out of people, but take the emotion out of the situation so you can best learn how to handle it.
I love those three C's. I was just like, oh yes. I mean, I love both tips, but I think it just like hit home of understanding that it is very courageous to start a business, to really put yourself out there. But then the creativity piece, I like how you, formulated that, because it really is like everybody has a unique spin on a problem. It could be solving the same problem, but the way you go about it is so different. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just recognizing too, because a lot of times people are like, oh, well, there's so many people in this space, or like whatever the product is or service, but recognizing that we're all unique individuals. I love that you highlighted that. And then of course, just being able to be consistent with anything. Just like you were saying with the health, like when you're consistent in those choices, you're going to see results one way or another, but really being consistent on what you want the outcome to be. So really appreciate those three C's. Sticking with them. And with that being said, I've been enjoying this conversation so much. I could probably ask you 5 million more questions, but for the sake of time, we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Sure. I'll try my best.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
I would say Elon Musk. Mm.
And what motivates you to work smarter?
The power of water. Just because water is like one of the most simplistic elements that we have in nature, but it can be either be the softest or it could be the most dangerous element on earth. Like once it has its flow, it goes beautifully. When it finds resistance through consistency and time, you can find erosion and you can find its path. So that's just one of the things. It's just that kind of drives me a little bit.
I like that. And if you were a superhero, what power or powers would you have?
To know what my wife wants for dinner. No, it would probably be a time travel.
Time travel?
Yeah.
I like the first answer too. If you had to share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
I would say, here's an odd one. King Solomon. Mm. King Solomon. All wise, all knowing, ancient times, had the answers for everything. J.D. Rockefeller, you know, learn about monopolies and business and capitalism. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say, well, almost any member of the Rothschild family. The Rothschild family, you know, they helped create the banking system today. And then I would have to end it with still my hero, Elon Musk. I think that would be a very interesting conversation for me to even not even have talking, because maybe they're going to be on a whole nother plane than I am, but just to sit there and watch the dynamics of all four, because they're all very powerful, powerful individuals, mm-hmm. you know, with a lot of knowledge behind. I think that'd be really interesting.
I wonder if anyone would get a word in. So I would want to be a fly on that wall. And what is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Up until 2 days ago, like I told you, it was probably start a business. But like I told you before this call, before this, I would say now would be the ice plunge. Like I told you, it was just one of those things. I've never felt so mentally vulnerable ever. Like I've been hit with challenges like anybody else, but I'd seem to be very resilient towards them. But that ice plunge, just that 60 seconds I stayed in there, I've never felt mentally vulnerable. But afterwards, it was, like I told you, it was one of the best feelings I've ever had. So that's probably one of the most daring things that I've done.
I'm curious if anyone's watching, if you've done it before, comment below.
Yeah, comment below on the first time you've done it. Yeah, the shock to the system. Boy, I've never. Can't wait to do it again today.
Well, let me know how it goes. I promise I will do it before the end of the year.
There you go.
Before the end of the month, we'll see. What is the phone app that you use the most?
LinkedIn.
And what is the last book that you've read or listened to?
Grant Cardone's 10X. That's a good one.
And if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
It'd be so awesome if Antonio Banderas could. No, but... Arnold Schwarzenegger would be a really funny cast on me. But no, I think one, a really great actor that I like a lot, it would be Michael Pena. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
I think he's a really great actor. And he captures one of my favorite movies of his was, I think it was On the Watch. It was with Jake Gyllenhaal where there were cops.
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, that's such a great movie. It's just a lot of nostalgia of how I grew up in Southern California. But I think he's a really great actor.
I think he is too. Now I got to watch that movie. And what is your favorite family recipe, whether it's traditional or you just love making it together?
The one that actually, okay, so my favorite family recipe to cook by myself would probably be tortilla soup. But the family recipe that we're all involved would be Thanksgiving turkey.
Classic.
That's when everybody has the, everybody knows their part. By now, everybody knows their part in my house. So
I like that. It's orderly.
yeah, no, everybody just, everybody knows what's happening on Thanksgiving. Everybody knows who's on tomatoes, who's, I'm on the turkey, who's cleaning it. Just, it's a nice little dynamic of who's cutting what, who's putting what where. And it just, it took 10 years to establish, but we're there.
Hey, you know, 10 years is better than 15. And if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality type, what animal would you be?
I would say, and I'll explain it because I might just get misconstrued. I would say a lion, but not for the lion that most people think as an alpha or is like, you know, aggressive. I, because every single time I see a lion, I see it more as a protector, because the lion doesn't go hunting. It's the lionesses that do the hunting. The
True.
lion, it just kind of kicks back, sits there. Everybody in the jungle or in the savannah or whatever, they know that he's there, even when he's just kind of crouching down, chilling. Like as soon as he lifts his head up, just to double check everything's happening. But when time push comes to shove and time to take action, he gets up and gets things that needs to get done, right? That's more, it's more of a protector. It's more of a security, like just the leader of the pack. So
Yeah, I could see that. And what is your favorite way to spend a day off, whether it you just have a few hours off or you have the whole day off?
one or two ways, either the movies. But if there's not a good movie out, I would say by myself in my living room, I have my own little chair, my thinking chair, drinking a nice scotch or tequila. Just quiet and just in my own head and just enjoying that nice drink.
Sounds very relaxing. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I mentioned it earlier, but it's just as volatile as anything else.
Leave it. And well, where can people find you, use your services? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
So the fastest way to get a hold of me directly is on Instagram at The Real Julio Carrillo, two R's, two L's, just so for those who don't know. You could go to Platinum Plus Capital, check out our website, a little bit of what we do. We have an app, actually, that's, we're going to do a big change in everything this week, because we have an app coming out for Google Play and for iPhones. So that's exciting. That's been a lot, that's been like a 2 month process trying to get everything done there. So Platinum Plus Capital soon, I would say in March, AmCam Financial, if you want to learn more about credit. But if you just want to get in touch with me directly so I can give you notifications, at The Real Julio Carrillo would probably be the best one.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Julio, for coming on, sharing your journey, being so transparent in everything that you've accomplished, but the ups and downs and everything in between. But thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I hope to be back soon.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Julio? There were so many things, but at least give us one. I'm sure he would love to see that comment as well. And we'll see you on the next video.